Friday, August 14th, 224th day of the new year. Joining us this morning, Humble Bay Fire Chief Ken Woods.
Good morning.
Are you having fun yet?
Yeah, the fun is come and gone.
Oh, really? Yeah. It's already been a long morning for you.
It has, yeah. It's been a long couple weeks.
Yeah, I would imagine you've been under that category of busy.
Yeah, we have been very busy.
Well, let me see if I can find a quote here before you start belaboring that point a little too much. Ah, here you go. Here's why I'll make the troops happy.
All right.
There are flowers everywhere for those who bother to look.
Yeah. Perfect.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Before we get into the big picture, fire stuff, it's been 6 weeks under the new budget.
Yeah.
And the new management and priorities.
Right.
How'd you grade yourself so far?
Surviving a C. You know, Station 4 on Myrtle's been closed every day of July. Looks like it's going to be every day of August, and September looks the same. So we're adjusting, but it's not where we want to be.
Now, the fact that it's closed, other than not trying to merge into traffic...
Right.
What's been the impact to, I guess we could say, this part, because it's kind of here where the studios are, this part of town? Have you started to sense something?
It's probably the biggest impact is when we do have fire calls or a number of medicals. We don't have that fifth unit available to handle another call. So there's been times in July where we haven't had a single unit available to respond to another call. When we've had another call, we've had to bring Arcata in to handle additional calls. The other part is we're doing a lot more moving of our apparatus around town. So when one engine goes on a call in a certain district part of town, we have to move another engine over to try to cover that side so we maintain a presence and an ability to get there within a reasonable amount of time. So our crews are moving. They're shifting a lot. They have to be, along with our dispatchers, really thinking ahead when they hear somebody move. Now they have to be on the ball and moving as well. But, again, the biggest impact when we have a fire, when we have a number of calls, we just don't have anything else available to respond, and our jurisdiction's unprotected.
Do you slap like a GPS on the underside of the truck so you know where they are?
We don't. We are looking at purchasing in what's called AVL, Auto Vehicle Locator, which will go into our dispatch center, and then they could look up at the board and immediately know which is the closest unit. You know, before when we had the five stations open, we kept those units pretty much in those areas, and dispatch would then dispatch that station, and they would be the closest unit. Now with moving around, it changes that whole complexity. So it's having a system that is automated, that dispatch could just immediately, as the call comes in, look up, assign the call to that particular unit that's the closest geographically, would be a big help to us. But that's about a $30,000 price tag.
I don't sense you have that sitting around right now.
Not at the moment. No, okay. We're looking at some grant money and those types of things potentially to be able to do that. But yeah, right now we just don't have it.
So as you're looking now at what's going on within this city, a little bit of construction, a little bit of activity. If things stay status
right
for where you are now, I know you talked about getting some fire medical vans, some of that kind of stuff.
Right.
Does that give you some relief, or is that just going to give you some more blips up on the board when you get that?
No, having a fifth unit would really be a benefit to us. And in fact, we have just purchased a used squad type vehicle, which is a large ambulance that has the capability to carry some firefighting gear. And that's going to be arriving here, and we will be outfitting that. And when we have the ability. Normally, when our station 4 was open, there were three people on that rig. Now, with the cut in the budget, we have less people, obviously. When we do have a couple extra bodies, we will put them on that squad. That'll help out when we have a number of calls, and that unit can specifically go to medical calls. It will get there faster. It's a smaller unit and be capable of handling a number of types of calls, although not fires. But again, having a fifth unit really allows us the ability to freeze up an engine to respond to another fire out there when we have those.
Now, will that run out of the station that's closed now?
It's going to run out of downtown because it's going to respond to both the downtown Old Town area medicals and also the Myrtletown Station 4 area calls. Because really, having that unit then with Station 4 closed, being a faster unit, we can cover the medicals on both sides and then keep still our ladder truck, which has a pump and water ability to respond to fire calls, available in that part of town.
KINS News and Information time is 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Times, 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop with Ken Woods. Ken, before the break, I was thinking, interesting, as you were talking about the deployment of this little rig,
right,
or mini fire truck.
Yeah.
The color of it, I mean, I know that that sounds kind of goofy, but one, it's not going to be a fire truck, so people aren't going to be accustomed to looking at whatever this thing is and thinking fire. They're going to be thinking something, what is that, is that the cable guys going
right,
by?
What was that? Right.
What was that
beer
thing?
Truck?
Yeah.
And it's going to match our existing apparatus with the red and black color scheme. It looks like a large ambulance, essentially, with a two-man cab. But, you know, we're not transporting patients at this time. Again, it's to respond to medical calls. The bulk of the time, it can respond to service calls, to lift assist, to really a wide lockouts, public assist, a wide range of the type of calls we go to that we don't necessarily need a fire engine with the water in the tank and the pump on it.
First of many?
Potentially, yes. I would say yes. This is a trend that we're seeing more and more in the fire service around the United States. Particularly in California, Napa has gone to this route. Chico is moving into this. So there's a number of jurisdictions that are doing it. Again, our problem was we just don't have the help around us as some of these other places where they can call another fire department, have them come into town quickly and help them out. We don't have a lot of assistance. So,
but your medical aides are a majority, right?
Yeah, they're in the 62-64% range. You get to the Bay Area where they're in the 80%+ range, and it really makes more of an impact for those guys down there to run those smaller vehicles. But again, when they have a fire, they have help from the outside. When we have a fire, we need everything we have to get to that scene, and we still need to be able to cover the calls that are occurring in town. So having a fifth unit, which is the way our jurisdiction has run since we consolidated. The city has three stations, the district two. You know, having that fifth unit is really key for us.
As you look at this, and I know you guys do a lot of mapping,
mm-hmm.
does it make sense to do what you're doing?
That's why I'm leaving, sir. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for the vote of confidence.
Yeah.
Right.
To go out of the main fire station, but are there clusters of your medical calls that if you had a second one, you might not have either of them out of a fire station? Or
it's
the anticipated fire stations?
I mean, obviously our stations are strategically located that are in a good location to respond to calls and the types of calls we have. The next location, really, if we were going to go to another one of these, would be Station 3 over off Ocean and Henderson over there. They run really the most number of calls in the city. A lot of those are behind the mall to our encampments back there, though, so a number of them are fires, but we go on an awful lot of medicals down there as well.
That's what I was thinking. You know, if they have open slots to the exterior,
right,
bang a door in there and put you guys in there and just have it right there. And then if there's any situations on the site, you guys are there.
Right. And that could eventually evolve as we start this, get this rig in service here, hopefully next month, and start the process of evaluating it. And, you know, hopefully we're going to be very successful with it, and we can expand it, and we can do more. And that's where we're going to be looking.
How long will it take before you go, you know?
To get it.
This is a good.
Up and running.
This is good.
Service.
We need another one.
I think we'll have an idea in probably three to 4 months or so, and have a real good idea how successful it is or not. Based on our budget cuts and our current level of funding, you know, I don't see Station 4 coming back anytime soon at all, and the ability to have three people on an engine there. So this is it's a stopgap, plug the hole method, but it's something that we hope we can build on for the future.
At the end of the 5-year window and you're through the gauntlet, okay, mm-hmm. So now things may, let's just say they've righted themselves.
Okay.
Now you got these extra rigs running around.
Right. Well.
Now is there that much more additional service? Are you able to allocate things a whole lot better? I mean, I would think that there'd be a ton of flexibility then if you've got this new thing that I know you've been considering for years,
right?
That's plugged in, and you got the other.
Yeah, and it's the best of both worlds in that case, because we can handle all those types of calls then. But particularly with the Affordable Care Act and what we've been looking at with community paramedicine model, and the state is operating a pilot program, and we'll see how that evolves as well. We want to be involved where our paramedics are doing more. Pre-hospital and post-hospital, where, you know, they could go out to somebody that's been discharged from the hospital and do wound care, check up on those patients, and then as an organization, we would be reimbursed by the Affordable Care Act. So that opens doors for us to do a number of other types of community service things to really benefit the community. We still need to maintain the fire presence. So having this and building on it then could be a real benefit down the road for the community.
So even though it wasn't the way you'd want it to be,
right?
Just kind of leave it there. This transitional window at the end of it, you might be even in a better position.
Yeah,
or more stable, I guess.
I think if again we talk about the perfect world and the budget in 5 years, we'll see. You know, right now our big concern is when we have the times we have no coverage and no ability to respond on that next call that's come in. And this is an adjustment. This is, you know, again, plugging the dike right now. But when things improve and you put all these components together with the Affordable Care Act, with community paramedicine, with more medical calls, with more service calls as the population gets older, I think it really will be the future of the fire service. And you'll see more and more departments doing this across the country, and it'll be a benefit for the community. Again, I think it's the way things are going to go.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:30. We'll be back with more from Ken Woods.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Ken Woods. Ken, obviously fire is, oh man, I just don't want to say that. It's too bad of a pun. Hot topic.
Don't say,
yeah,
I was like, right.
Okay.
Yeah, we've heard that quite a bit lately.
News is covering a whole bunch of it.
Right.
Obviously, there's a lot of concern. Our part of the state, I mean, when they're closing the state highways, yeah there's some issues.
Right.
When you've got, you know, five figures on these fires?
Yeah, you do, right.
Yeah, okay. I mean, things are happening here. You got the air quality issues. You got all kinds of stuff that's going on. Is this the time? Because I think I'd shared with you before the show, the thing that really I'm most perturbed by is that you got all the intrepid news reporters out there reporting on what's going on, but nobody's asking the question, why now?
Right.
Why? You know, it's not drought. It's not drought. I mean, you know,
it's
different things. It's forest management practices and lack thereof. It's BLM not doing things.
It's a
whole different thing. If those were managed, it would be different. If we were not in a drought
year.
We'd still be having fires.
Right. California burns. Right.
Yeah, rather well.
Right.
Yeah. Are the fire professionals looking at this stuff going, hey, guys, wait a minute. And whether it's Forest Service or Cal Fire or you guys or a volunteer department, it really doesn't matter.
No, everybody's doing the same thing out there. But I think they look at it. I think there's really mixed camps and opposing views on, you know, part of it is as more people move out into the wilderness areas to what we call the urban interface, you know, there's the hue and cry from politicians that you have to protect those areas, that those are, you know, there's the constituents that are supporting, and you've got to get out there no matter what and put the fire out immediately. You have the forest management side that I think obviously recognizes the value of letting some of these fires burn, letting a natural process that's, you know, occurred for years that's suddenly been stopped, letting that get back into place. And so you have these two competing views, and I don't think there's been a good solution to it yet. And you compound that now with the drought conditions and the beetle infestation, the just sheer numbers of people that are out and about. You know, we're in a perfect storm here, and we talked about it last year as the year was coming to a close, and here we are, and we're seeing it. And this is only August, and we haven't seen Southern California start to burn as well. And, you know, normally October, November, the Santa Ana start to blow and Southern California blows up. So we're still anticipating that while a tremendous number of resources are here in California, Northern California, fighting our fires. And we're looking at this weekend coming up, some high temperatures, low humidity, significant winds in the eastern part of the state all the way down to the south. And it's going to be touchy to see what happens.
In that kind of scenario, most of these are lightning strike. Are they finding any that are either stupid people in the woods or people stupid in the woods?
Yeah, I mean, the ones we have here that really started around the 30th of July, talking to Cal Fire, they had about 90 lightning strikes, and 71 of those started actual fires. So a very high percentage of ignition on those. But other fires around the state, absolutely human caused. Those kind of things are the majority of the fires we go to, human cause.
Except when it's a situation like this with the lightnings?
Yeah, where you get a whole bunch of storm blows through and you get a tremendous number of ignitions. And then, you know, you're dealing with each one and you have to prioritize those based on the potential for property damage, you know, life safety, all those types of things.
Is anybody out there talking along the lines of, you know, guys, if we just kind of figure out a way to do this, run the D8 Cats, you know, make it a quarter mile, make it a half mile, make it whatever, and that's as far as it's going to go. Instead of fighting it, let it burn and just contain. Just drive the tractors around and not worry about it and don't put guys in harm's way.
Yeah, and that's actually what's taking place now because of the extreme fire conditions is, you know, these fires are spotting way out ahead of themselves. And you're not putting firefighters right in front of that as it goes. So you're trying to set up containment lines, put the firefighters when they can start back burns, start to burn out areas where that fire is going to run up against the main body of the fire and really eliminate the fuel. But these kind of explosive fire conditions, you're not going to put firefighters right in front of these fires that are rapidly moving, and you can't contain them at that point. So you want to be way ahead of the game.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:41. We'll be back with more from Ken Woods.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:45. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Ken Woods. Ken, some of the different challenges that are out there, I would imagine, are working with or working against Mother Nature.
Right.
Okay. Terrains and the Denny Fire. I'm looking at, you got Ironside there.
Yeah.
It's going. If it jumps the New River, it's going. Nobody's going to touch it.
Right.
Then the lookout will go poof, and it'll be gone. And we don't worry about that stuff. But what about those times when you're out there responding in these wildlife areas or wilderness areas where there is human guys either getting in your way, mucking things up, telling you what to do? Are you hearing stories about that?
Yeah, we are, particularly along the fires that are occurring on Highway 36, Trinity Pines area, where firefighters have run into some real problems with some of the residents and the marijuana grows and things like that, where people are not anxious to have someone come into their area. Even though as firefighters, we're trying to deal with a fire. We want to put the thing out. But there has been some very strong opposition to the firefighters out there, and in fact, real concern for the safety of firefighters. So the state has talked about that. I believe additional law enforcement personnel have been sent to those areas and are in the process. But, as a fire chief, for me, when we send somebody out, we're always concerned about their personal safety. And then not just the fire, but now you're dealing with a human element that has other intentions and not necessarily going to be supportive of the type of work you're doing out there.
So if they don't want you there, why be there?
And that is becoming more and more of a sentiment that, we're not going to go into those areas. We're going to stay back. When we have a problem in town, a violent situation, we stage and we wait for police to secure the scene so it's safe for our personnel to go in. And that mindset is becoming more and more prevalent out in the forest as well.
Well, why put the cops at risk? I mean, just say, guys, if you don't want us here, just let us know and we'll let it go burning right through your area.
Yeah.
No skin off our back.
For us, obviously, the cops deal with that every day. For us, we don't. And we are very concerned for our folks and firefighters around the state. Again, they're in a dangerous situation with just the fires, let alone then someone that doesn't want them there.
Nothing easy, huh?
No, it's not. It's not.
Remember when there used to be cats and trees? And
The things were great then, You could look like a hero and everything was fine.
Is fire service continuing to metamorphize? I think that's the right word. To evolve,
right?
Through some of these cultural things. It's not that the fires are acting any differently, or the buildings are kind of still somewhat pretty much the same, but people's being different.
Yeah, people. Obviously, when years ago, when the fire department showed up, it was just a given that they were there to help, and people were not antagonistic opposition to what they were trying to do, because we are there to help. But times have changed, and people are more resistant. They don't want anybody butting into whatever types of things they may be doing at the time. They don't necessarily want help, and the evolving, it does occur in the building construction and all those types of things as well. So it really covers the gamut from the human element to in this time now with the drought conditions that we have, the beetle infestation, the problems with the drug culture here, and some of the things we're seeing. It's a wide range, and there's a lot of obstacles that our firefighters are forced to deal with.
Are they trained for it?
We do try. We do try to keep ahead of the curve as much as we can. But a lot of times, it's going through a situation that you haven't experienced before and dealing with it as best you can. And then once you're through it, passing that information on to the other firefighters that you're working with.
One quick, just because it's a question on my head. There's what appears to be a Victorian type on Myrtle after West headed east.
Some holes in the roof.
It looks like skylights.
Yeah.
But I saw it was your guys.
Yeah, we were
doing the skylight cutting, and that building, it had the plywood over the window, so I don't know if it was a meth lab or something.
Yeah, they were
blown out in there. Is that a work in progress now? You're going to burn it down, remodel it? What's going on?
That was a previous fire that we went to a while back, structure fire, and the contractor's working in there. They're going to be remodeling that, I believe, but they've allowed us to come in and practice on that structure. So we've been practicing our ventilation, putting holes in the roof, doing some work inside, and it's a great opportunity for our firefighters to get out and practice what we do on a structure fire.
Well, at least you don't have the preservationist standing there saying, don't screw up the Victorian.
That's right. It's a little late now.
Yeah. Timing. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Enjoy your weekend.
You too.
Hopefully no calls.
Yeah, right.
Join us Monday for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone else.